Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic complete their fourth summer signing as Jota returns. Chris Boyd says Rangers need to get on with their transfer business, and Hibs, Aberdeen and St Johnstone are just a few of the teams in pre-season action today. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio today is Kenny Miller.
Yeah, it's been another, an exciting day for Celtic, getting the Jota signing over the line to add to obviously the Bernabe, Carter Vickers and Maeda signing. So it looks like they're, again, players that have already been there, but it's been a hefty outlay, you know, so they're flexing their muscles with that Champions League money. And obviously across the city, there's been a lot of players re-signed, which for me is just as important, because these players would have need to be replaced. But I'm sure the Rangers fans listening tonight will maybe want to see the club spending a little bit of money on strengthening that starting lineup.
Yeah, the 1st of July is when you maybe think a lot of clubs will really step up their business. But you look at what's been done, Celtic have made four summer signings already. And then you look across the city, Rangers, I've made John Souter one signing that was obviously a pre-contract, but yet to do any business apart from that.
It's really interesting, actually, when you look at the actual players that have been signed. You know, Maeda, Carter, Vickers and Jota, yes, they're all signed, but we're all already existing at the club, albeit on loan, and it was still big deals to get them done. And I think really, really important, particularly Jota and Carter Vickers, would have been really tough to replace based on the seasons that they've had. And across the city, again, Goldson could have left... Big signing to be re-signed. Davis and McGregor for your culture and having been there and done it before. Arfield as well, I think they were. In fact, the four of them, really, really important signings for the Rangers dressing room and John Souter. So it's Rangers spent no money, but they have kind of kept that core squad together, which was really important. Celtic spent a lot of money, but three of them were already in the building, you know. So it's actually a strange one, but they're probably a week, 10 days back into pre-season, and you always would like to get a bit of business done early, maybe with new signings and things. So definitely I would say Rangers maybe a little bit behind in that regard so far.
Well, let us know what you think at home. Of course, that big news today is that Jota has signed a 5-year deal. So Celtic fans, what do you make of that? Is it joy? Is it relief that he's through the door? What do you make of Celtic's transfer business as a whole, as that's their fourth signing of the summer? Fans of other clubs, what are you making of what's going on at your club at the moment? 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. But as I say, it was Celtic announcing that this morning, a permanent 5-year deal for Jota. The Portuguese winger joins for a fee of around $6.5 million from Benfica after last season's loan spell. Becomes their fourth summer signing. Cameron Carter-Vickers, Ben Seagrass and Alexandro Bernabe through the door already. And it was one that Celtic fans were eager to see happen, Kenny, because I could see it all over social media. They were all desperate for this one to be announced. He'd been here, there and everywhere on holiday, and finally they've got that one over the line and been able to see that on social media. Celtic fans seem absolutely delighted with it.
And rightly so. I mean, it was a revelation coming into the football club last season, along with Kyogo at the start of the season. Those two players really lit the league up. They were huge for Celtic last year, goal scoring, creating, giving them the energy to play the way that Ange wants to play. It would have been really tough to replace Jota. I mean, albeit they've got some really, really good players in that position at the moment. Abada had a wonderful season last year. James Forrest, I think, there's still a lot. He's got a lot to offer at that Celtic team. Mikey Johnson, again, you've held a lot of hope out for him over the years. He's had a bit of a bad time the last few seasons with injuries, but I'm sure the Celtic fans would like to see him back fully fit and in and around the first team. But with the signing of Jota, the form of Abada and James Forrest still, and Maeda can still play out there. I think when Kyogo and Giakoumakis have kind of made that number nine position between them, and Kyogo obviously being probably, he's got the shot at the moment, but Maeda is also capable of playing wide. So they're real strong options in these forward areas.
Because it's $6.5 million, which in any context in Scottish football is a big, big fee, but Celtic will see it as less of a risk because he's been there for a season. He's had time to settle in. He got goals and assists last season. He's only 23, so they'll hope that he can come in, perform like he did last season and keep progressing.
Well, that's the benefit of the loan, like the loan to buy type signing, because you get to see how, particularly at clubs like Rangers and Celtic, that you get to see how they're going to live and deal with it in Glasgow, because we all know the scrutiny and how, well, there's one side are normally, I mean last season was unique, we talked about it, well there's one side are normally happy and the other side not. So it's having a loan to buy, it gives you the opportunity to see how they'll deal with these expectations, demands and the scrutiny that you're under every single week. So he handled it, you know, so it probably looks like $6.5 million well spent. And when you add that up, I mean, best part of $18 million being spent already in a transfer window for Celtic, and there's still 2 months to go. So that Champions League money is definitely coming to hand, and obviously they've been stable over the last few years financially, and they have shelled out good money, but with really, really good return when you think of guys like Dembele, Edward, Kieran Tierney bringing in a lot of money as well. So it's I think the Jota sign will be money well spent.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025 on the phones. Alec is a Celtic fan up first in Renfrew. Alec, how happy are you that Jota's permanently a Celtic player?
I'm absolutely delighted that we've got the three players at plus a goalkeeper in already. I don't think the spending's going to stop there. I think Ange might have a couple of diamonds for the Far East ready to come in. I don't know if Big Julian's away or not, but he's obviously said he's wanting to go, so we might need another centre-half. But my outside bet, my pals were laughing at me the other day when I spoke about it, I think Tommy Rogic might come back.
What makes you think that, Alec?
Well, it was a strange one letting him go with a year to his contract still to go, and we didn't ask for a transfer fee or anything like that, to let him go. Obviously, he'd been a great servant for 9 years. Read the other day there that he'd refused a team in Indonesia or somewhere like that. I've just got a sneaky, sneaky feeling that he's going to come back. Keep my fingers crossed, because I think we've got another good year out of him anyway.
Kenny, the fact that he left when he did have a year left in his contract maybe suggests that, you know, it was a decision that maybe suited everyone, a parting of ways, that they just thought, you know what, this is time up. Would it then be a strange move for him to then come back to Celtic after all that unfolding?
Well, unless Alex got some information that we don't. Surprising, definitely. With the way, I mean, we talked a lot about it towards the end of last season about the partner Tom Rogic with a year on his contract. So, listen, stranger things have happened in football. You know, he might go away, he might have assessed options that are in front of him, maybe no fancy too much. But I would have suspected that Tom Rogic would have knew, or at least had a wee inkling what his next step would be. I mean, he's still a young player. I think he's 29 at the moment, Tom Rogic, so he's still got a lot to offer in a career. So I would be surprised if he never had a wee idea of what his next step was going to be. So it would be surprising, but you know what, I'd never rule anything out in football.
Alec, you've seen Jota up close for a year. Just how good a player do you think he can be for Celtic going forward?
I think once he starts to, he's already bedded in last year. I think once he starts to maybe release the ball to his teammates now and then, he'll be even better. I mean, he's a fabulous talent. There's no getting away from that. But he's just a wee bit of a wildcat at times. But I'm sure when Ange really reins him in, he's now a full-time Celtic player. He'll get right into the way of playing the Celtic way. I can't see us getting beat next season. I mean, we gave Rangers 9 points at start last season when we were basically in turmoil. It's great that Celtic have decided to add and power of strength, from strength, and I can only see us going one way forward, and that's onwards and upwards.
Yeah, I think there will be a lot of confidence from Celtic fans, Kenny, given the fact that they won the league last season but have got their business done early as well. They've not even been to their pre-season training camp yet, which I think starts in Austria next week, and they've already got a lot of their business done. They've got players through the door, and there's maybe not anywhere near as much business that needs to be done going forward.
I love that kind of chat already, though. We're the 1st of July, we're already talking about we will not get beat next season in this kind of talk, so I love it. The only thing I would say, like, and it's not a negative thing, because every manager would want their business done early, and Celtic have done some great business. I would say is that it remains to be seen whether the Celtic starting lineup has been improved as yet. That's all I would say on it, because Jota's a starting player for last year. Carter Vickers a starting player. Outstanding performers at that as well. Sigrist, again, I would assume he'll come in initially as a number two to Joe Hart. And the young fullback Bernabe, I mean, they're signing for a lot of money. So it's clear he's coming to start. But Greg Taylor will have something to say about that. You know, he's had that jersey. He's played his part in a double winning season. So he'll not want to give that jersey up. And we've seen it many times with players coming to the country in our big two that maybe don't quite settle as quickly, particularly a young player coming out of Argentina. So it remains to be seen if that starting lineup is going to be improved. By all accounts, the young lad is a big, big talent.
Would Celtic's theory be that they're bringing in Cameron Carter-Vickers and Jota, who, yes, played last season, but they're at that age where they should still be progressing every season? So they should be a better player at the start of this season than they were at the start of last season, and they'll feel that it is a progression that they are making.
Absolutely, there is a case for that, yep. How much better and how much can you improve that? I don't know. You know, it remains to be seen. The one thing about them is it's a lot of money, but like you say, there is still that scope for development. And you know, and the way Celtic's transfer record over the last few years about bringing players in, if they perform, and they perform in the Champions League at the elite level, if anybody wanted to come and take these, you've seen the types of fees that Celtic have got for the likes of Edouard, Dembele and Kieran Tierney. You'll be looking three times that amount at least for any potential suitors to buy them. So it's good business in that sense of where they're at in their career. And you're right, they can develop into better players. There's no getting away from that, which ultimately would then improve the starting lineup. That might be a few years down the line, to be honest. I can't see them being that much of a different player from 6 weeks ago when they were playing till 4 weeks when the league starts.
Alec, you said you don't think the spending will stop there. Where does the spending need to be done in that Celtic team over the next few weeks then?
I would love, obviously, a backup centre-half, Andrew. Talk about somebody, if Julian goes to Shaw, we might get one of their players. I don't really understand why that would strengthen us. I mean, Big Julian looked good when he first came. He's obviously not off the boil. He said in the press a few weeks ago that if Ange didn't play him, he wasn't going to be very happy. So obviously, you don't threaten the man with telling him what to do, you know. I would love another centre-forward, obviously, but I think Big Giomarcus and Kyogo will be perfect for each other. Maybe take Kenny Miller back again if he was about 10 years younger.
Maybe 15.
You said you were doing runs in the park the other day, though, so you're prepping for a move, Kenny?
No, I'm not. I'm just prepping for to stay fit and healthy, to be honest, Andrew. I've kind of took the foot off the gas since the end of the season, so I'm trying to get back on it.
Thanks, lads.
Alec was talking about the centre-back area there, and it's an interesting one because Nir Beaton is gone. He was a backup option there. It looks as if Christopher Julian won't be at the club next season, although talks with Schalke have broken down. But when you've got Cameron Carter-Vickers, Carol Starfelt, Stephen Welsh in there as a backup option, Celtic are going to need another option in there, especially if Christopher Julian does move on.
No, Alec seems to have got it nailed, to be honest. He's probably picked an area that is light in terms of cover. I mean Welsh has came in and done great over the years, but I think in terms of if it was a longer term replacement, I think you're maybe going to need a more recognised figure to step in for, particularly if it was a Carter Vickers. You know, I mean, Carl Stalfour, who again had a decent season, I think he's a player that's always going to draw that type of attention because he's not the biggest. He looks a wee bit untidy as much as he normally gets the job done. I think, yeah, a centre-back would be probably a key area. I mean, they're quite flush with midfielders. I think in the front areas now, I mean, you could also throw Maeda as probably a nine who plays wide. So there's plenty of players up in the front areas of the team for Celtic. So, yeah, that might be the area that Ange is targeting next to get a little bit of backup or maybe even a starter.
Well, thank you to Alec. 0141 951 1025 if you want to get in touch. Let's hear a bit from Jota himself. He says he put his future to the back of his mind while he was on holiday over the summer. The winger admits it was hard to leave Benfica, but says it's the right time for him to make the next step in his career.
When I'm playing, I'm totally focused on being the best version of myself. When I'm on holidays, I just try to do my things and to put myself on another paradigm and just try to be myself, the person that I cannot be during this season. So I enjoyed myself. I knew that something was going to happen, but I just kept on, okay, let's just enjoy life now. And when I have to make the decision, I will make the decision. So that's what happened. In the end, I had the things in the table and I decided what was the best for me. to be honest, it's quite a nostalgic moment for me because I was there for 15 years. It's like a kid leaving home, leaving his parents. So I feel like I still cannot take it very well, you know, but I think it's normal. Because it's, I guess it's like Tierney going to Arsenal. People kept on saying to me like, yeah, he just left home. And I think it's the same case for me.
It was obviously a big decision he had to make in his future. Do you believe him when he says that he wasn't even thinking about it when he was off on holiday? Or as a footballer, is your future always in the back of your mind when you're away and not playing?
You know, when there's that type of speculation surrounding him, there's no doubt. I mean, listen, he might be completely different. You know, he might want to switch off from football altogether, but with the kind of speculation off the back of a really, really strong season, I'm sure he had it right at the forefront of his mind who he was going to be playing for next year. And I think that when you come to Scotland and you're playing for either Rangers or Celtic and you get the adulation that these 50,000, 60,000 fans are giving you week in, week out, and he received that right for the off, it would be a big, again, that was probably the benefit for Celtic. He's experienced that. You know, he's experienced success in winning the league and winning the cup. He was a huge part of it. And the adoration that the fans kind of poured on him every single week definitely would have probably held an edge over where he was going to go. But based on the season he had, I'm sure there would have been a few other options. So I'm sure now Celtic and all the Celtic fans will just be glad that this deal's done and confirmed now, and they can look forward to having him for the next few years.
Yeah, you see that impact that he had from that season at Celtic. He talked about Benfica today and how much he loves the club. He was there for 15 years. It just shows that affinity that he has with Celtic now, that he decided it was the right time to take that step away from the club.
Yeah, well, I think when you've got a long association with a football club, and that clearly, he's been in the club since he was 8 years old and at their academy, so it would have been a big decision for him to step away. But he's never quite made that impact in their team, you know, in their first team, is what he has done coming to Celtic. So still a huge decision, but like you say, when he's had that feel of love from everyone at Celtic, I'm sure he's pretty happy. And it's been a big commitment on both parts, 5-year contract.
Well, whether it's Jota that's on your mind, whether it's Rangers transfer business or anything else, give us a call, 0141 951 1025, and you could be up next after the travel.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 if you've got anything you want to chat about, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Let's go straight back to the phones. Tommy is a Celtic fan who I think's got a bit of a bone to pick with you, Kenny, and it must be a real bone to pick because he's phoning all the way in from the Netherlands. Tommy, what's on your mind?
How are you doing, guys? Hope you're all well this evening.
You too, Tommy.
Yeah, it was just with regard to something that Kenny said, where he basically said that Celtic and Rangers' transfer so far was almost on par. Am I correct in what I'm saying, or did I misinterpret what he was saying? Or
I don't think it was on par. I think it was quite a unique situation that both clubs found themselves in, that Celtic spent a lot of money bit on existing players, so not really kind of improved their starting lineup to an extent, whereas Rangers have re-signed players which were big. Listen, Celtic have spent a lot of money, we did say that, and it's been, and what was stated, which was a fact, that Celtic are probably ahead of Rangers in terms of what they've brought in so far based on the money they spent and the players that they have managed to recoup, the lads that were on loan. So I wouldn't quite say they were on par, and I don't think I said that, and if I did, I would have to be corrected, to be honest.
All right, okay. So I'll take that back. Can I ask you something, Kenny? How much do you think Rangers will spend in the transfer market at this window?
Well, that's a tough question, because at the moment, you look at it, there's not been any money spent on the first team anyway. Obviously, there has been a lot of younger players signed to the academy as well. A lot of players re-signed, and John Souter coming on a free transfer on a pre-contract. So I think there needs to be money spent. Every summer, any team, no matter what level you're at, need to invest. You can't stand still. You need to be improving. So money, it will depend on what's there.
Well, it also depend on the futures of Morelos and Aribo and Kent. If Rangers re-sign some of them, then possibly less money to spend. If they sell some of them, then more money to spend.
And it's hand in hand, because the more they can get re-signed, the less they probably need to sign. But the one thing's for sure, when you're at the end of a season and you're going into a summer transfer window, which ultimately is the best transfer window, January can become carnage, in regards to trying to get the right quality player in to make an immediate impact. So when you've got a chance to go on and really strengthen your starting team in the summer, that's the time to do it. So it's to answer your question, Tommy, I've not got a clue. There's no doubt the team needs to be strengthened, because I think something last summer at Rangers, I would say that it maybe wasn't strengthened. And obviously, you know what happened. Obviously, the rest history, Celtic go on and win the league. And Ange does sign a lot of players and does spend a lot of money, and a lot of the players were hits. So Rangers will definitely be looking to strengthen it between now and the end of August. Obviously, the earlier you get your business done, cliche, the more time you've got to work with them, embed them into your team and your football club, and get them settled into your dressing room. So I know the Rangers guys will be behind the scenes, will be doing their work, there's no doubt about that. And I'm sure Ange is still as well. By all accounts, he'll not be stopping at the 4 or 5 signings that he's made already.
Tommy, I know it's only the 1st of July and there's still lots of time in the transfer market left to go, but how confident are you at the moment just based on the business Celtic have done and the business Rangers have done?
Domestically, very confident. There was a guy actually just before us that went and said that he can see Celtic not getting beat next year. I agree with him. I think there's a high possibility that we've now got a team that's got the confidence to go forward and just no look back, the way that Brendan Rodgers built the team, etc. I think that's what we're heading for. And also, I think we could be in for something special in the Champions League. I can see us progressing. Just get a funny feeling. A lot of people will laugh at me. It's my opinion, but I think we're in for something special this year, big time.
I mean, Tommy's shown his confidence levels there. I think Celtic can go unbeaten, think they can progress in the Champions League. Obviously, the Champions League's really hard to predict, Kenny, because a lot of it depends on who you get drawn against and what your group is like. But it shows what Ange Postecoglou has done to this Celtic support, that we've had two callers on tonight who have said, you know what, I think we can go unbeaten in the league, and it's only the 1st of July.
Listen, you can understand the confidence behind... because Ange is a year in now. He's got a set kind of way of playing. Everybody knows that. He's now recruiting players or re-signing players, that big players that were there last year, which had they not got your Carter Vickers and your Jotters, they would have been really, really tough to replace. So, like I said, and the reasons behind that, it's not just about the money. It's about the fact that they've been there, they're settled, they know exactly what the demands of playing for that football club are, which with any new signing coming to either club, Rangers or Celtic, that you're never going to know until they're in it, you know. So I can understand the confidence they're building towards something they're clearly going to strengthen. So it's Tommy, Alec, it was on before, absolutely no problem with them being confident at this time. There is a long, long way to go, and things can change over the course of a summer, and I'm sure they will. There'll be a lot of signings and comings and goings between now and the end of August, but you can understand the confidence of the Celtic fans so far.
Do you want to come back in, Tommy?
No, I just want to thank Kenny for his honesty. Thanks very much, guys.
There we go. Just thank you very much to Tommy. 01419511025 if you want to get in touch. Let's stick with the phones, but let's switch to Rangers, because Archie is a Rangers fan in Partick. Archie, what are you thinking tonight?
I'm just listening to Archie calls, and I'm just really thrown the foot. I'm really, really bemused about the whole Rangers situation. I think, first of all, Simon Davis and Arfield was, to me, was an NO. I think we need to move forward. I mean, he hardly played Davis to begin with. They've been great servants, but I think we're holding on to dead wood, in my opinion, for starters with the two. I think McGregor should be let go as well. What Celtic are doing, they seem to be progressing, evolving, growing. We seem to be stagnating. I think, I don't know, it's the same stuff with Morelos, and it's the same crap constantly. I think, but I'm just not a fan of Giovanni, to be honest with you. And I think signing the two players, it's just a total no-no to begin with. And I'm a bit confused. I just think when we win the league, I think we're a bit complacent. And I think we were 6 points ahead, and I'm just not a fan of where we're going. It's really, really bemusing, the whole situation at Ibrox, isn't it?
Kenny?
Oh, again, Archie, he's put his cards on the table. I'd like to ask him, why are you not a fan of Giovanni, Archie?
Why? I'll be honest with you. I know people will say we go to the European final, and I think the Scottish team final for me, I think you could have played a pub game against Hearts that day, they were so bad. And remind me of the Craig Levein, he played 4-6, you know, with Scotland.
I was in there. I wasn't in that team actually, but I was there.
I know, but seriously, it was just, I just think, I don't even let him speak and see, he just says the same thing constantly. See, I'm old school, and you know what, I think great managers have got two attributes. You fear them, but you also respect them. And I think he's too nice to be a Rangers manager. I think that he wouldn't be frightened of not playing well. He doesn't have that. He just seems too nice. And I like a manager who, you know, like Ferguson's, your guys like your, whether it's Steen or whoever, guys, Walt Smith, he was respected, but he was also feared. And I think he's too nice. And he just...
Jurgen Klopp's pretty nice. He's not doing too bad a job at Liverpool, Archie.
What's that?
Jurgen Klopp's a pretty nice guy. He's not doing too bad at Liverpool. Can you not be a nice guy and a good manager at the same time?
A nice guy, but he's also well, he's half a seed at times, and I think the players fear him as well. I mean, you don't want to let him down. He's got that fear and respect, and I think that makes a good manager.
Archie, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst hasn't had a full transfer window to, you know, as the Rangers manager yet. He had January, but it didn't really look as if he had too much sort of freedom to do business in that window. Is it a case of maybe giving him this window to see exactly what he can do, how he can build his squad, and then seeing how Rangers go from there?
I don't think so. I think signing Arfield and Davis was for me a red flag to begin with. I think again, being great servants, great players, but what did he play? Davis gave him five starts or something. I just think Davis, he's too old to play with Rangers, and I think Arfield, great impact player, but I just think it was time to let go of the players. I think we're not evolving as a team. I think we're holding on to the past, and I think we need to sort of like recreate the team. And I think we're just stagnated, and I think Celtic won the league with a lot of points this season, sadly. You know, he came with 6 points ahead, and that was a 12-point turnaround, you know, and I don't know. I just think it's a red flag. As soon as you're signing Davis and Arfield, I mean, I was thinking about it. I think even if teams are giving them £10,000 each, that's £1 million. And people talk about, experience about the dressing room. You know, £1 million just to have experience about the dressing room. There's a lot of experience in the team.
Kenny, does it then depend on what other business Rangers do? Because Archie's saying he's concerned that McGregor and Davis and Arfield are being re-signed, and if Rangers get to the end of the window and they haven't added further to their squad, then Archie may be right that it could be a concern, but Rangers could then go out, spend money, bring players in over and above that, and that may change the perspective of re-signing the players, because Archie might think at that point, well, you know, that they're good options to have around the squad if there's other players in there to complement them.
That's exactly it. You know, all I'd say to Archie is, from being in the game a long, long time, see these more experienced players for your dressing room, these cultural leaders that you want, and the guys that are driving your standards every single day, they're invaluable, Archie. And these guys like Davis, McGregor, Arfield, and Goldson re-signed. Also, Goldson's a bit different because he's barely missed a game since he's came to the club. I think he's still at that age. He's about 29, 30-ish. Mm-hmm. So he's still got a lot of years probably in his prime. So he's a bit different, but he still falls into that same category. But, like you said, Andrew, they need to then go make some signings. They need to try and spend a bit of money to improve that team, because guys like Arfield and Davis, yep, you're right, they maybe never started too many games. I don't know about you, Archie, but I felt when Stephen Davis came on in the Europa League final, he brought a real calmness to the team. They started to get on the ball a little bit more, and he takes a control. Listen, will he be a starter every week? I think the answer to that's no. But in terms of the value that he's going to have run about these players, and new players in particular, about what it takes to play for the football club, these guys are invaluable. And for me, Alan McGregor's still going to be your number one.
Kenny.
For me, again, for somebody to come in and replace him, they're going to need to be a very good goalkeeper to take the number one spot off him.
Archie, what would Rangers need to do over the next couple of months in the transfer window to make you feel more confident?
Well, I think we've been lacking something for a while. I think we've been lacking a creative midfielder for a long, long time. I like Jack, but he's injury prone. I just think we're just lacking a creative midfield. Somebody to take the game to scruff of the neck. We're missing that for seasons. You know, just somebody, a Barry Ferguson, that was my favourite player, you know. I would love Gilmore back at Ibrox, to be honest with you. We just seem to, all our midfielders just seem to be the same. You know, just seem to be, you're just seem to be the same kind of players, and there's no creativity, no spark. I just think, I don't know, I think we're missing a spark. I think we're quite one-dimensional, to be honest with you. Even with Gerrard, we're one-dimensional. I think we're one-dimensional with Giovanni, and I think we're just lacking a lot of creativity. I think we're just stagnating. I think a lot of people need to be moved on, even like Kent and Arebo. I think after two or three seasons, a lot of players just get bored playing a lot of teams four and five times, and I think we need to refresh and get a wee spark. I think we're just missing, you know, honestly, two seasons, I think we've been one dimensional, and it's just a bit of creativity.
Yeah, Archie talks about Ryan Kent, he talks about Joe Aribo. Rangers have big decisions to make on their future. We don't know how much those will be in Rangers' hands or not, just depending on how the players feel about their futures. But is a lot of Rangers' summer transfer business dependent on what happens with those two and Morelos? Because will they be waiting at the moment to see exactly what's going to happen with them, to know what areas of the squad they need to fill, what money they'll have to fill it if they need to?
I think so. I think that is key. It's why they find themselves in such a tough situation at the moment, because you've got 2 months of a transfer window to come. You could throw Bassey into that as well. As much as he's not in the final year of his contract, there's no doubt there'll be suitors on the vultures will be circling him based on the performances that he's had over the last particularly last 5-6 months of the season there. And again, that performance in Europa League was outstanding, so he'll be on a lot of people's radar. So until you know what's actually going on with these players, it's really, really tough to prepare, because there will be the other positions that may be more of a priority. I probably agree with Archie in regards to the midfielder. There's no many Barry Fergusons about. I could tell you that, Archie, or Billy Gilmore. I mean, I would love to see the wee man come back up the road as well, because I think he could be something. He could give you something different to the Rangers midfield.
But so he was up training in Scotland yesterday with Glenn Afton.
He's not going to be signing for them. I could tell you that. it would be a wonderful signing for the club. But he's got a long term contract at Chelsea, and I'm sure he's still really valued there. He's still got a lot of development within his own career there. So, but no, it might be an area to look to get something in that type of player for that Archie said. But a lot will depend on who leaves and what kind of finances might be available to then bolster that starting lineup.
Archie, you said it's maybe time for Ryan Kent and Joe Aribo to move on. What about Alfredo Morelos, who finds himself in the same position with 1 year left in his contract?
No, I'd love to see him stay in it. You know, actually, I think it was it last year with the whole he wasn't playing well at a certain period, and he was always in a huff. But you know, he came onto a game. I would love to see him stay, to be honest with you. I think I was reading a paper yesterday about, I think he was maybe going to Sevilla for $8 million. Which, I remember that was the French team offered, was it 18 they offered, and Rangers wanted 20 at the time. I think he's invaluable, to be honest with you. I think he's an amazing player. I would love him to see him. But it's the same stuff, it's every window, it's the same story, isn't it? But I would love to see him re-sign, you know. He's invaluable, to be honest with you.
Is he possibly the hardest player in that Rangers team to replace Kenny if he goes?
I would say so. I think his form's been great over the years. There has been constant speculation, like Archie says, every transfer window that comes along, there is speculation with Alfredo. At the moment, he will hold all the cards. He's got a year left. He will decide. Firstly, I think he'll be concentrating on getting back fit, and then he'll decide where he feels his future lies. And I don't think him staying for another year and running his contract down in Alfredo's mind would be a bad thing, because he clearly loves playing for the football club.
Well, if you've got something on your mind about your club's transfer business, 0141 951 1025, give us a call now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. We touched on it earlier, Kenny, because a caller mentioned it, but I did find that picture of Billy Gilmore taking part in a training session at Glenafton Athletic quite something.
You know what, it just shows the wee man, he's probably been, he's bumped into, I think it was big Ryan Stevenson, he was in the picture, yeah. Wasn't it? So he's probably bumped into him doing his way. He's like, oh, why don't you come and train? And the wee man just loves football. He'll go, aye, why not? No even thinking about his own safety and potentially picking up an injury or rolling an ankle on, which I'm sure is a substandard surface compared to what he's used to. So, he'll be keeping his sail ticking over. I think he goes back down to England next week to get ready. I think they've got an extended break because of international. So it was, I did see that today. I thought you shouldn't have been doing that. Maybe running round the pitch whilst they're training, maybe, but getting involved, maybe not so much.
I don't think he would have been anywhere near there if Gordon Dale was still the manager at Glenafton. Absolutely not. 0141 951 1025 on the phone. Scott is a Rangers fan up next in Govan. Scott, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi, Andrew, Kenny, hope you're well.
Hi, Scott.
Before I get to my point, can I just say I was up at Ibrox today and it was a good turnout for Davy there.
sad to see him go. Like,
yeah, well said, Scott. It was the funeral of Rangers legend Davy Wilson today. Of course, a legend at Dundee United and Scotland as well. And he's maybe not a player that the younger generations know too much about, Kenny, but if you're getting into the Hall of Fame at Rangers, the Hall of Fame at Dundee United, the Hall of Fame at Scotland, three separate Hall of Fames, you must be some player.
Yeah, you must. Again, it speaks volumes for what he was as a player. And like you say, probably a bit before my time as well. But as always, the Rangers fans pay tribute to one of their own guys that have represented their club so well over a number of years. So yeah, again, it was another one just to add to the list, Davy Wilson, to the icons of the football club that have been lost this season.
Yeah, well said, Scott. What was your next point?
It was about the last two callers. The boy that's in Holland just now, I don't know, when he asked Kenny about do you think how much Rangers will spend this year, he should stick to his own team. But my point about the last quarter,
well, I'll take that first, Scott, because I think rivalry can manifest itself in many ways, Kenny. I think there's some supporters that don't want to know anything about what's going on at the other club. They don't want to even mention their name. And then there's other supporters that want to know everything that's going on at the other club, and they want to know exactly what's happening in that rivalry. And people kind of deal with it in different ways, don't they?
Well, you know, it could be taken in the respect that it's maybe a wee kind of backhanded dig, the fact that Celtic have spent almost 18 million and Rangers have not spent any as yet. So it was to try and maybe get a wee bit, well, if they spend 10 million, that's still going to be half the amount of money that Celtic are going to spend. So it's, you get that. You've always got one eye. I don't care who you are, but whatever side of the city you support, there's always an eye going across the other side to see what's going on, who they're signing, who they're bringing in. And that's why sometimes it does become a case for concern when you see a lot of action going on one side and maybe one team's not doing as much. So you can fully understand that kind of rivalry and the wanting to know everybody's business.
Scott?
I couldn't. I think I've mellowed with age because I couldn't care less what happens closely than over there. But about the Rangers fan, I know, I don't understand what he's trying to get at. I mean, he's picking at a lot of players. He's picking at a manager. That manager, apart from his last stint, was it in China, I think, was it? Van Bronckhorst, yeah. He's won trophies. So, and he's won their trophy here. But the players, I mean, the players were here 2 years ago. They went undefeated in the league. They've got the British record for at least amount of goals conceded. It's the same team that's gone into this year. And who's to say that the group of players are not just going to turn it around a wee bit?
Kenny, I wonder if Archie's point was more that you're signing on McGregor and Davis and Arfield, and yes, they were part of that squad that won the championship a couple of years ago, but you know, they are 2 years older and they're at an age where there will be a natural decline.
Listen, I think that was the point, but he did go, like Scott says, he went a little bit deeper in regards to saying that maybe wasn't a fan of Gio, and then started to maybe name Ryan Kent and Aribos, and maybe it's time for these guys to move on as well. For me, again, I don't agree with that. I think Gio, to touch on that, this is going to be his first summer transfer window, which I've said before is obviously the most important one, and it's not easy, but it's far better to be bringing players at this stage of the season than it is in January, when I think he came in a few weeks before the January transfer window as well, which is not even great timing in regards to try and strengthen at that point. So yeah, absolutely, Gio deserves this transfer window to get his team together, to put even more of a stamp on the team than what he already has, and build towards what will hopefully be a good season for him and the football club.
Scott, based on the fact that this Rangers squad just made it to a European final, are you quite happy with the squad the way it is and don't think there's too much that needs to be done this summer?
No, there's definitely, I mean, look at the striker situation that we ended up with at the end of the season. So, but yeah, I'm happy. I mean, we got to the lowest out in penalties, I think. So that team does really do well, and I hope Morelos stays as well, because they're good. It's a good team. In European games, it's great. So I'm happy with it.
Yeah, Rangers. Kenny, Rangers look like they're trying to address that striker situation that Scott was talking about. Obviously forced to play Joe Aribo up front in some huge games last season. They're trying to get Antonio Colak over the line. We've heard lots of stories that there's a deal been agreed, there's bids been rejected, that personal terms have been agreed, but PAOK's manager himself said that they feel they probably need to bring in a striker before they let one go, and it's now really up to Rangers whether they decide they want to hold off and see whether that, you know, sorts itself out, or whether they move on and look at other targets.
Yeah, and they'll decide there will be a cut-off point, whether it's time or whether it's money, that the deal won't be of value to the football club. The only thing I would say to Scott would be, is had Rangers won the Europa League, I would still want to strengthen, you know, so you don't want to rest on your laurels. So there were a penalty kick away for winning, or a one hit of Ryan Kent's boot onto a ball in the last minute of the game, last kick of the ball, extra time, he won the Europa League. Had that went in and they won the Europa League, and it would have been an incredible achievement for the football club to do it, I still would have been looking for improvements this year, because a word that Archie did use was, oh, we're stagnating, we've stagnated. I don't feel last summer that the transfer window was, and again, and there could be extenuating circumstances behind that, maybe not the money to go and improve for the type of player that Steven Gerrard felt he needed to improve. So again, I'm not privy to that information. All I can see is the guys who came through in the door, I don't think there was any real starters that came in last summer. Now, you're looking at now, John Souter on a pre-contract, is no doubt he's going to have been, he's in there to partner Conor Goldson, but he still needs to show he's capable and able of dealing with the demands of playing for the Glasgow Rangers. So I think that's the point, that there needs to be some kind of forward movement in regards to bringing players in that are going to, if they're not going to come in as a starting player, then they absolutely need to push the starting player on for fear of losing his jersey. So that's where the recruitment side probably needs to improve this summer to where it did last summer.
Well, thank you very much to Scott. That's all we've got time for on the phones tonight, unfortunately. There were a few pre-season friendlies today involving Premiership sides. The one that caught my eye, Aberdeen and St Johnstone played each other in a friendly over in Spain today. I don't know why, I always find it a bit rubbish when teams in the same division play each other in friendlies. I don't know what I find weird about it. It doesn't happen all that often, and it makes sense as well, because you're testing yourself against the level that you're going to be playing against all season. But I don't know why, I just find it a bit weird.
Have you got a score on that one?
1-1.
1-1, okay.
Yeah.
So nothing given up there in that game. No insight to what's going to be happening when they face each other in the first game of the season. So it's probably fine that they're probably close by each other on their pre-season tours, and it's pretty easy to organise a game with people, you know. But it's incredible to think that we're still talking about last season, and you've got guys already, eight days away from the opening game in the League Cup. So it's I'm sure there's been a lot of games played in preparation for that start next week, because it's so important for certain teams, I think Aberdeen being one of them, and St Johnstone for that matter, that they start this season pretty good.
Yeah, it was a 1-1 draw between Aberdeen and St Johnstone. New signing Bojan Miovski scored the only goal for Aberdeen. It was Theo Baer that scored for St Johnstone. So Hibs were in action today as well there in Portugal. They beat Burton Albion 4-2 in a friendly. They've got loads of new signings that have been playing for them at the moment. They'll be looking for a big season under Lee Johnson. A couple of new signings scoring for them. Ailey Yuan and Noan Kenna as well. Elias Melkerson scoring a double as well. He'll be looking to kick on this season as well. We'll be getting a lot more on pre-season friendlies and transfers over the next few weeks as we build up to the season. Of course, the Premier Sports Cup group stage is not far away at all. But thank you for listening in tonight. Thank you for all your calls, your tweets. Thank you to Kenny Miller in the studio as well. I'll be back on Monday night in the studio with Hugh Keevans. And the best way to kick off your Friday is to stick around for the GBX.